Today's daf is Menaches daf Nunhei. We are 8 lines from the top of daf Nunhei Amid Aleph. So the topic of yesterday's daf was a discussion whenever you have a halacha regarding a shir. Do you look at the shir kemoishahein or do you look at the shir likemoishahein? Do I assess it based on what I have in front of me right now or do I assess it based on what it had previously been? So if something expanded or if something shrunk, do I look at it in its expanded or shrunken state, or do I look at it in what its previous state was? And as we saw, the Gemara sort of spanned the globe in terms of ramifications, lahalacha, where this shaila would play itself out. It began with Menaches, which of course is the topic du jour. We're learning Masechtas Menaches right now, and there was a shaila regarding the halacha of kmitza, which can't be chaser, it can't be yasser. What happens if you mixed a little bit of water together with the soilas? How would that impact the shear of the kmitza? We went from there to a Mishnah in Masechtas Uktzin, which discussed the halacha that in order for oichel to contract tumah, it would have to be the shear of a beya. So it wouldn't be enough if it was a kezias, which ordinarily is considered the shear chashuv when you're dealing with food. Over here it would have to be a little bit bigger. It would have to be a beya. But again, when did you assess the shear beya? And then finally, the Gemara discussed it in the context of the halachas of truma meiser and truma's meiser. In that context, the Gemara discussed what would be if somebody was toirim figs, and he was being tirim from some of his figs on behalf of the other figs. The issue is that some of the figs were in their original pristine state. Others were already oisgeklapt, oisgehakt. And the question is it okay to be tirim from te'enim on gregers or from gregers onto te'enim? And the Gemara discussed it in light of this halacha of kemoishehen likemoishehen. Today's daf begins on that note, albeit from another angle. Tan rabbanon tarmin te'enim al hagroigrois. It's okay for a person to take te'enim, figs, and use that as truma on behalf of his groigris, which are pressed figs, but only b'machem shorikilin lasses te'enim groigris. It's only okay to do that if you live in a place where it's customary to make groigris from te'enim. Meaning what people usually do with te'enim is they will convert it into groigris. If it's customary in this place to do that, then the thought is that it's going to be easy to find people to do the work on your behalf. Thus, we know that the te'enim will eventually become gregris. That's what makes this halacha okay. We'll see what the explanation of that is in a minute. Like gregris, I'll tell you that it's not okay to be teirim gregris on te'enim. Even if you live in a place where the minig again is to make from te'enim gregris. So an interesting halacha. Yesterday, we looked at it more from the technical standpoint. How exactly should you be teirim from gregris te'enim gregris? Mida, mishko, minyan, kemoishahein, likemoishahein. Today, the Gemara introduces a braisa that says it's not even so simple in the first place to ever be teirim from gregris on te'enim. In fact, says the braisa, you could be teirim from te'enim onto gregris, but only b'makam shiragilim lasois te'enim gregris. It's not okay to be teirim from gregris on te'enim. Afilu b'makam shiragilim lasois te'enim on gregris. So before the Gemara explains the braisa, two things. Number one, there's an idea, as we'll see soon, when it comes to Meiser and Truma, and specifically Truma's Meiser, which, by the way, is what this price is discussing. So it's discussing the Levi who already got Meiser Rishon. Now he has an obligation to take from his Meiser Rishon and give Meiser Minha Meiser, what the Torah refers to as Truma's Meiser. But regardless, there's an idea, Likat Chila, that when you're going to give Truma's Meiser, that it should be Minha Mufcher. You should do it by and yofa. You should take the best, the choicest of your produce, and that's what the Levi should go and give over to the Kayan. From that standpoint, it would make sense to give Te'enim versus Groigris, because Te'enim is considered more chashuv. It's considered more choice than is the Groigris. On the flip side, there's also an idea that when you're giving the Kayan Truma, or again, in this case, Truma's Meiser, you should give him a Dover HaMeskayim, something that has a longer shelf life, that has a later expiration date. And Groigris are preserved longer than te'enim. Te'enim, you're going to have to convert them into gregris if you're going to want them to be around. Otherwise, eventually, they're going to go bad. And that's one of the reasons they would take te'enim and make them gregris. Like this, they had a shelf life. Otherwise, it's like fruit. It spoils eventually. So there's a mila to give te'enim, because Te'enim is considered Mufchar. There's also a Maila to give Groigros, because Groigros is a Dover on the sky. So with that backdrop, the Gemara analyzes this price. Oh, my. Toyrim Te'enim ala Groigros, but Makosh will give them last as Te'enim Groigros. It's okay to be Toyrim Te'enim on Groigros. It's the same min. One is in the form of Te'enim. The other one is already in the form of Groigros, but only in a place where it's ruggle, where you'll be able to find people to take the tainim and make it into gregus. So the Gemara makes the obvious deal. It's very clear on the Braisa that the only time you can be turned from tainim to gregus is if you're going to be able to find someone to take the tainim and hack them to where they're going to be gregus. The Gemara, if there are kohanim present in this shtetl, where you're being Torah, you're Chumas Meiser, Makam She'eni Rogel Amayloi, then what's the issue? For tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Makam She'esh Kohen Torah Min Ayafa. Then it makes sense, just give the Te'enim to the Kohen. You'll be able to be Yoitza, the halacha of giving Min Hayafa, giving from the choicest, which is the Te'enim. You worry that the Te'enim are going to go bad. What's the issue? Give it to the Kohen. Lead it. What's the problem? Elapshita, says the Gemara. It's obvious. The only way to make sense of this halacha in the Braisa is the lack of Kayan. Oh, there was no Kayan. Being that there's no Kayan, even though ordinarily you would want to give to Enim because it's Min Hayafa, but you don't have a Kayan to give it to right now. And if you're going to wait until you find a Kayan, it's not going to be Min Hayafa anymore. To the contrary, it's going to spoil. Thus, it would be more lekatchila to give Gregoris, which is the Davar HaMeskai. Stating that, says the Braisa, you could be Torah Metainim ala Gregoris as long as it's a Mokim Shurigi. Because then we're comfortable that you're going to find somebody to pay to make from your tain and Gregris. Thus, the Trumas Meiser will not go bad, and it's for that reason it's okay. In other words, the Gemara is making an Aikimta in order to understand the first line of the Braisa. The Aikimta is we're dealing with someone who is a Levi, he's being Tayyum Trumas Meiser, and there's no Kayan present for him to give the Trumas Meiser to. Frank the Gemara, he must say for in. That's true. How do you understand the Sefer? The Sefer said, V'loy groigrois ala te'enim. V'afilu b'makam shiraga lasas te'enim groigrois. It's never okay to be te'enim groigrois on te'enim. Fake to Gemara. What do you mean? V'idah like a koyin on my life. If there's a koyin, I understand why there's halacha not to give groigrois ala te'enim. Because te'enim is the yafa. That's the mufcher. That's the choices. And there's an idea that you're supposed to give from the choices. But if we made an akimta ready in the first line of the Braisa, that we're discussing a makam to like a koyin, then how do you understand the second line of the Braisa, why no Gregris al Tainim? Just the opposite. If there's no Kayim, then the rule changes. Then you don't give an Ayafa, then you give an Amiskayim. You give what's going to last the longest. Oh, so the second line of the Braisa is probably discussing where there is a Kayim. Freak the Gemara, Reisha the Lekka Kayim, Seifa the Ikka Kayim. Does it make sense? One Braisa, two lines, and two Aikimtas? The Gemara says, in Reisha the Lekka Kayin, Sefer the Ikka Kayin. The Reisha, the first line of the Braisa, is talking about where there was no Kayin. The Sefer is talking about where there was a Kayin. Amar Rapapa. So Rapapa heard this discussion, and he made a general comment. He said, Shema Mina, I can take out of here, in addition to the halacha itself, can you be tired from figs to gehakta figs, vice versa, there is a Kayin, there's no Kayin. But says Rapapa, I can walk away with a macro, fundamental principle in how you are supposed to be mefarish prices. Rapapa was an Amira. Amiram were in the business of explaining prices. So Rapapa said, I could walk away from this discussion with something very, very important, and that is Dachkinon umakminon masnisen betray taimi v'loy makminon betray tanoi. That if you have two choices, how to explain a price. Choice A would be you'd make an akimta in the price that Rapapa referred to as a doichik, Dachkinon. Reisha is the Lekka Kayin, Seifa is the Ikka Kayin. Or there's another way you can do this. You could say the entire Braisa is talking about the same thing. One Aikimta, but you're going to make the Braisa Aliba de Trey Tanoi. Says Rav Papa, it's clear from this discussion that it's better to make a Aikimta in the Reisha and an Aikimta in the Seifa. Dachkinanu Maikmina Betrey Tanoi. One thing is clear, Rapapa obviously had another way to explain this Braisa. And Rapapa felt that if it was okay to be mefarish this Braisa, Aliba the Trey Tanoi, you would not have had to make the Ikimta that the Reisha is the Lekka Kayin and the Seifa is the Ikka Kayin. Now, this is not really the sugya that we're learning right now, so we don't have to digress from the Gemara's digression and really explain what that means. But if you take a look at Taisvis, it's a one-line Taisvis, Dibra Masko, Veloimu Kmina, Betrey Tanoi, what would that
I came to have been, says Tosfos, that v'matzi l'ukmi b'chat taimo, u'betrei tanoi, the kula d'leka kain, that really the entire Brice is talking about it, was no kain, v'resha rabbonon, v'seifa k'rab Yehuda, the polagad rabbonon, b'perek sheni d'mesechtis trumis, there is a Shitas Rab Yehuda that argues with the Rabbanan. Either way, Rab Papa had a way to explain the entire Brisa of the Lekha Koyin and the Resha and the Seifa are two Tanaim. One is the Rabbanan, the other is Rabbi Yehuda. Clearly, Rabbi Papa said it's better to be dachkinon u'maykminon masisa betray taimi v'loy maykminon betray tanoi. So before we go weiter and completely shift gears and change topics, just one aura. So one of the Yisoidis that was Mavur in this Gemara is that it's better for a Levi that's giving Trumas Meiser to give Menayof. So if there's a Kohen in front of him, he's giving his Trumas Meiser, and he can give either Te'enim or Groigers. Same thing, they're both figs. But a Te'eno is a nice fig that you just washed, and it's a full. The Groigers are already pressed. It's better to give the Te'eno than to give the Groigers. What's the reason for it? Because the Tainim is considered Mufchar, it's considered Menayafa, and the Gemara says that B'mokim Sheyesh Koyin, the idea is you're always supposed to give Menah Mufchar. In fact, if there's a Koyin, you're not allowed to give Menah Groigers, because it's not okay. You have to give Menah Mufchar. The truth is that this idea is a pasuk in the Torah. It's a mefurish pasuk in the Torah. It's tucked away. It's at the end of Parashas Korach. Everybody knows the beginning of Parashas Korach, but not everybody knows the end of Parashas Korach. And the end of Parashas Korach, after Aharon's Kehuna Gedolah is challenged by Korach V'Adasai, so Hashem reinstates Aharon as being the Kohen Gadol, and you have a little bit of a chazar of what you have in Parsha Shmini. Aharon, Akoyin, his sons, his family, his yichus ultimately are going to be the Kehanim of Klal Yisrael, and you have the whole parasha of the Matnas Kuna. So the Chof Dalid Matnas Kuna, where are they? In the Torah. They're not in Sefer Vayikra and Torah's Kayanim, but they're rather in Sefer Bamidbar. It's in the end of Parsha's Korach, the very last Parsha of Parshas Korach, literally the end of Shvi and Maftar, talks about Trumas Maisa, what we've been discussing. Aydaber Hashem Moshe Leino, Velat Leviim Tadaber. You should go to the Leviim and the Martalim and tell them as follows: Ki sikhu meis bnei Yisrael sam Maiser, Hashem nasati lemiita benachal aschem. When they get their Maiser, Yit gives the Levi Maiser Rishon, Vaharim Moisem mimenu Trumas Hashem, Maiser mena Maiser. So they have an obligation to take Maiser mena Maiser, which is also referred to as Trumas Hashem, which is also referred to as Trumas Maiser. V'nechshav lochem Trumaschem kadoga mena goyrim v'chamleim mena yokev. And you should tell the Leviim that when they give their Trumas Maiser, they're going to get the same schar that the Yid gets when he gives Maiser Rishon. So the Leviim had a chelik in the mitzvah of Maiser as well. How so? They're on the receiving end of the Maiser. Where do they contribute in the mitzvah of Maiser? The answer is, they give Maiser min ha-Maiser, and that's what the Pasuk says, v'nechshav lechem trumaschem, which by the way, the Gemara throughout Shas learns out so much lumdus from the words, v'nechshav lechem trumaschem, that truma can be chal b'machshava, but ein mikro yoytzim midei pshutai. What the Pasuk saying is that Hashem says that the Levi will have a chelek in the mitzvah of Maiser. How so? By giving his Maiser min ha-Maiser. And then the pasuk continues and says, "Kain tarimu gamatim trumas Hashem mikol matnoi seichem ashtidich meis bnei Yisrael nusatim benu trumas Hashem la'arin akoyin mikol matnoi seichem tarimu as kol trumas Hashem mikol chelboy es mikdashoy mimenu." And tell the Levim that when they give trumas meiser, they should take it from their chelev mikol chelboy. So what does mikol chelboy mean? Zokt targum unkelis mikol matnoi seichem tarfeshun yos kol afroshuso dashem mikol shufrei yos makdashemine. Chelboy is shufre. Take from the choices, and that's what they're supposed to give. So this mitzvah that the Levi was supposed to give his Trumas Meiser from the Yafa, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says mikol chelboy, and all you have to do is shnayim mikuvach etargim to know that chelboy means shufre. And then the pasuk continues, and the pasuk says v'amarta aleihem, etc. Last pasuk in Parashas Korach, v'lo yisisu olav chet. If they will follow everything I just said, they will not do an avera. Baharimchem es chelboy mimenu. Ves kochi b'nei Yisrael leisachalulu v'loisamusu. Now, Pashup Shat, what the Pasuk is saying in the end, is that if the Levi will follow everything I just said, he's going to give Trumas Meiser v'loisiswal of chet. Then he doesn't have to worry about any averas that he may be carrying. But clearly, if he won't give Trumas Meiser, it's going to be a very big deal. Meaning, a Levi not giving Trumas Meiser is the equivalent of a Yisrael not giving Meiser at all. If a Yisrael doesn't give Meiser and he eats his tefuah, it's tevel, misa b'dei shamayim, it's very, very terrible. If and Meiser. If a Levi doesn't give Trumas Meiser, it has the same exact halacha. It's going to be a big deal. Thus, if he's going to follow what I just prescribed him, it's only then below Sisu al of Chet. But the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs, quoting the Sefri, makes another diyuk in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'loi sisu al of chet, baharimchem eschel boi mimeno. The Torah has it over in this Pasuk. The Pasuk that emphasizes the terrible avera that the Levi will do if he doesn't give Trumas Meiser. In that Pasuk, the Torah has it over that when the Levi gives Trumas Meiser, it has to be eschel chel boi mimeno. He has to give from the choice, says the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs, mitzvah kuf, Chav Tes. Oid Remez. You see a Remez in this Pasuk. Shehem Chaitin. That the Levi is a Chaitin. Em lo yoytziyu minatoiv. Even if he gives Trumas Meiser, but if he doesn't give Menayafa, he doesn't take the choices. He gives Groy Grois. He doesn't give Te'enim. Not only is it not Lekatchila, but Veloisisu all of chet. He's going to be noisei a chet. He's going to have to walk around carrying aver on his plates. Because the veloisisu all of chet is only if he gives Trumas Meiser, but baharimchem eschel boi mimeno. And if he gives it from the choices. So if he's going to give from the gregris and not from the te'enim, not only is it not lekatchila, but the Torah is very, very graphic. And that's all going, says the Rambam, not only on a Levi that doesn't give Trumas Meiser at all, but even on a Levi that gives Trumas Meiser, but he doesn't give it Menachel. Now the truth is that this idea that you're supposed to give Trumas Meiser, the Levi is, from the Chalep, a Tepasik in the Torah, it's the sugi that we're learning, but really it's something that permeates other areas of Halacha as well. And the truth is, the Rambam, B'l'shoynei Hazav, the very end of Hilchas, Yisurim Mizbeach, this is a Rambam that we've spoken out and we've learned together in the past many times. The Rambam brings it up beautifully. The context over there is actually Menachas. And the Rambam is discussing what type of oils were allowed to be used for menachas. And the truth is, all oils could be used for menachas. It says the Rambam, being that it's okay to use any oil for menachas. So why did the Torah say which ones should be used l'katchila? What difference does it really make? If you can use shemen, you can use shem. That's the Rambam's kasha. Says the Rambam, the Torah wanted to give you a pecking order so you should know what's the best, what's the next best, and then the third best, etc., etc. Why is that important? Because if somebody wants to be zoicha, Yaakov Yitzrei Hara, v'yarchiv yodai, v'yavi karbonoi min hayofa, ha-meshubach b'yoysa, sheba'oysa amin sheyava mimenu. Because if a person wants to, v'shoynoi hazov shal harambam, liskois atzmoi, if somebody wants to, liskois atzmoi, I guess that's self-explanatory. Yaakov Yitzrei Hara, v'yarchiv yodai, V'yavi karbanei, but don't just bring a carbon. It should be min hayafa, hamishubach biyoser shabaisa min. And says the Rambam, you know what exhibit A for that is? This week's parasha. Harei nema b'toyre v'hevel hevi gam hu mipchayre tzaynay. Kayan brought a carbon, and Hevel brought a carbon. Kayan's carbon was a mincha. He brought from the tefua that he was working. He worked the field, so he brought a mincha. Hevel had animals, and what did he bring? He brought mipchayre tzaynay, but the Torah emphasizes umei chelvehen. What does chalveya mean? We just said what chalvei means. It means from the shufrei. Vayisha Hashem el hevel ve'embun chasoy. So it says the Rambam, you don't have to look any further than the first carbon that was ever brought. And that's the carbon of Cain and the carbon of Hevel. And the Torah goes out of its way to say that Hevel brought a carbon, mei chalveyem. And right afterwards, Hashem listens. Hashem accepts Hevel's carbon, not Cain's. Cain gets jealous and the rest is history. But the point is that you see there's an emphasis in the Torah that Hevel's carbon was accepted because he brought it mechalvein. And says the Rambam, v'hu adin l'chol davar, shu l'shem akel. This is not only true with regards to kachim, but it's true for everything. Shiyah min hanah hatoiv. Anytime you do a mitzvah, anytime you give anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should be from your best. And bana beis tefillah, if you're going to build a shul, yiyah na mi beis yeshivasa, it should be nicer than your house. Hechel ra'av, if you're going to feed somebody hungry, yachol min hatoiv v'hamasak b'shulchanai. You should give the ani the best food that you have. Kisa arum yechasim min hayofa shebeksusoi. Hikdish dover yakdish min hayofa shebenechasav. V'chein hu oimer kol chelav Hashem. And that's how the Rambam ends his hilchas, his surei mizbeach. And the Rambam is mavur that this idea of giving min amufchar, mikol chelba, is not just halach and trumas meiser. And it's not just halach and kachim like you find by Kayin and Hevel. And that pasuk that the Rambam quotes is kol chelav Hashem. That's a pasuk in kachim. It's not only true when it comes to inyone kachim.
But the Rambam's lashon is kol dover shehu l'Hashem hakel latoy. And the Rambam gives examples like building yeshul and being meichel aniyim, being mechasa arumim. There's a milo to take your best and faket, the best that you have, you should give for a mitzvah. And then afterwards, you should have anah from yourself. But there's a mitzvah, there's a milo, just like the Levi took the te'enim and he gave that to the koyim and he kept the gregris for himself. Every person in his own avodas Hashem should take the best that he has, give that to Yanim, and everything else he should keep for himself. Today is the Heilige Chassam Sofer's yard site. So just to speak out, one Chassam Sofer, me'inyan le'inyan, the Chassam Sofer in his pirish on avos, on the Mishnah, yehi beischa. Chassam Sofer didn't write a pirush on avos. Chassam Sofer is in a drasha, but he's explaining a mishnah in avos. Yehi beischa pasuach l'rvacha, v'yiyu aniyim b'nei beischa. Says the Chassam Sofer, yehi beischa pasuach l'rvacha. A person should open up his house. It should be an open house. You should allow people in. You should give tzedakah. You should be mefarnes p'im. And even if it means that v'hi aniyim b'nei beischa, that your own family are going to be like aniyim. In other words, isn't it maila to take the better and give that to the other people? Yehi beischa pasuach l'rvacha mitabreikait. When it comes to your own family, they could be a little bit humbler. But l'katchila, when it comes to the mitzvah should be min hayafo, the mitzvah should be mikol chelboy, it should be min ha'amofchar. Either way, we return to the topic of menachos. Ok, the Mishnah, kol ha'menachos, niloishos bepoishrin. So the first Mishnah in the Perek began discussing a halacha of menachos. Are menachos ba'is matzah? Or a menachos ba'os chametz. And Mishnah said, kol menachos ba'os matzah. All menachos had to be matzah. Chutz mi chametz shebetoida v'shtei halachim. With two exceptions. Some of the lachmi toida were leavened bread. The shtei halachim that was brought on Shavuos was also chametz. Incidentally, it sounds a little bit from the Mishnah like the shtei halachim was a mincha. Right? Kol menachos ba'os matzah. Chutz mi chametz shebetoida v'shtei halachim. If shtei halachim is not a mincha, then it's not an exception to the rule of kol ha-menachos ba'is matzah. So it's mashma a little bit that the shtei halachim is a mincha, which incidentally is not so pasha. But either way, so the Mishnah said kol ha-menachos ba'is matzah, with the exception of the Zokta Mishnah. On that note, kol ha-menachos nidloishos be-poishrin. All the menachos were kneaded with poishrin, lukewarm water. So not too hot, not too cold. It was supposed to be lukewarm. Umeshamran. But it was important for the kohen that was doing the lish to watch them very, very carefully, shalayach mitzvah, to make sure it didn't become chametz. Sounds familiar? When you bake matzahs, right? So it's a very similar idea. You had to watch it. There was a mitzvah of shmirah. Then the chmitzvah, if it became chametz, shiareh, over b'loy saseh. Even if the shirayim became chametz, there was a loy saseh. Meaning, that's poshet, what the Mishnah is suggesting is that the part of the mincha that was kariv, the part of the mincha that went on the mizbeach, certainly wasn't allowed to become chametz. The Mishnah is saying a chiddush that even the shirayim, even the part of the mincha that was eaten by the kayanim, even that was not allowed to become chametz. And if it became chametz, there's a loy saseh. Shenema, the pasuk says, kol ha-mincha asher takrivu l'Hashem, loy seyase chametz. Thus, you see from here that the entire mincha is not allowed to become chametz. The Mishnah continues and says another halacha, v'chayiv alishasa v'alarichasa v'alafiyasa. So if somebody would prepare the mincha and it would be chametz, he wouldn't just get malchus one time, meaning it's not just arbam chaser achas temershtamol, but it would be tzimtzveitamol and tzimtzvitamol and tzimtzverdamol ochet. Right, you'd be chayiv alalisha and the aricha and the afiyah, the different chashiv elements of the baking process would all beget their own set of malchus, and all of this will be discussed right now in great detail in the Gemara. Zok the Gemara Minani Mili. How do you know that not only can't the mincha be chametz, but even the shiyarei ha-mincha can't become chametz? Now, the fact that the mincha itself can't become chametz, the Gemara doesn't say minani mili. It expects us to know that. You're not allowed to be makriv sar on the mizbeach. So no chametz on the mizbeach. That we know. The chiddush is that not only the chelik that went on the mizbeach wasn't allowed to be chametz, but even the chelik that went to the kayhanim, also known as the shiyarei ha-mincha, the shirayim, even that wasn't allowed to be chametz. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? It says, afilu chelka, even their chelik, who's chelik? The kohanim's chelik, the shori amincha loy seyafecham. Tzvei tikvar b'hai lahachi v'da'asa. Hani boi loy v'chid etanyo, loy seyafecham. Ma tamo loy mar, why does the Torah have to say loy seyafecham? V'aloy kfar nemar, the pasuk already says loy seyasecham. You're not letting make chametz. Vishen amal loy seyasecham. Yoch loy yechai v'la'achas al kulon. From the pasuk loy seyasecham, it's a very general pasuk. Don't make chametz. Okay, so I would think that if I made chametz, somebody took the carbon mincha and he allowed it to become chametz, so he would be chayav malchus for making chametz. And it doesn't matter if he did the lisha and the aricha and the afia, it's going to be one chametz because it's essentially one loisaseh of loisayas a chametz. Talmud loimed loisayaf. So the Torah went ahead and singled out afia. Afia b'chal hoisa. Lama yotzes. Why did the Torah have to single out afia? L'hakashle ma afia miyuchedesh imaisi yechidiv chayavan la b'fnei atzma. Just like afia is one part, albeit the most important part, but it's one part of the chametz making process. And you see, the Torah said that for that fear itself, you're chayev malchus, afani ovi, lishasa, va'arichasa, v'chol ma'isi yechidi, and any other ma'isa, la'asuyi. What's that other ma'isa? Kitov, smoothing out the dough. Point is, shu ma'isa yechidi v'chayev an olem, b'fneyatz. The point is that lo'i seyof ha'chametz is not an extra pasuk. Because had the Torah not said lo'i seyof ha'chametz, I would have thought that if somebody prepares chametz, he's chayev one malchus for the entire process of preparing the chametz. Kamash molon loy seyafe, afia bechlal hoysa, to tell me that there's a special malchus for afia, but not only for afia, but for all the other parts of the process of making chametz. So if loy seyafe chametz is not extra, how could I darshan loy seyafe chametz chelkam to tell me that the iser of mincha chametz relates even to the shiurei mincha? The Gemara is assuming that the only way to make that drasha is if the pasuk lo seyafa chametz is extra, but it's not extra. It's a mafurish of raisa. I needed to tell me that you're chayav an individual malchus for each date detail of the process of making the mincha. Says the Gemara, no, not true. Anan michelkam kamrinan. There's really two drashas that we can learn from the pasuk lo seyafa chametz chelka. Number one, lo seyafa. Why does the Torah have to single out afia? Afia bechlal hoisa, to teach me that it's not just one malchus for the entire process of making the mincha, but for each individual chashuv, each maisi achidi gets its own malchus. But the Torah also says chelkam, and chelkam teaches me something else. From the word chelkam, I know that the chelik of the kohanim, you have chametz for as well. Freit the Gemara, ve'ema kuli lihachi u'da'asa. If that's the case, maybe the whole pasuk is coming to teach me one. How do I know two drashas? Meaning, how do you know two drashas? Says the Gemara, came lichtoiv chelkom loiseyaf chametz. My loiseyaf chametz chelkom shamet minatarti. Had the Torah said first chelkom and then loiseyaf, so I would say that the only thing I'm going to learn from here is that the shiori mincha is not allowed to be chametz. But from the fact that it said loiseyaf and that it said chelkom shamet minatarti, from loiseyaf I know that it's not one malchus for the entire asiya, but each individual part of the process begets its own malchus. From the fact that the Torah used the word chelkom, I know that not only the part of the mincha that went on the mizbeach, but even the shiori mincha that was eaten by the kohanim, even that part has this halacha as well. So just before we go weiter, and the Gemara gets into the weeds of some of these drashas, so just to be a little bit clearer with the psukim. So there's really two psukim that this part of the daf is hinging on. The first is in Parshas Vayikra. Very straightforward. Kol ha-mincha asher takrivu la-Hashem lo yaseyasa chametz. Torah says, right after it introduces the concept of the karbon mincha, a mincha cannot be chametz. Ki chol sa'or v'chol devash lo yasaktiru mimenu isha la-Hashem. Straightforward. It's in Parshas Vayikra. It's Perek Beis. Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's one pasuk. Kol ha-mincha asher takrivu la-Hashem lo yaseyasa chametz. Very general. Ki chol sa'or v'chol devash lo yasaktiru mimenu isha la-Hashem. The second pasuk is in Parshas Tzav. It too is talking about the carbon mincha, and there the Torah says lo seyafe chametz chelkom nasati oisa meishoy kodesh kadosha mikachatas v'ka'asham. So again, the Torah is talking about the mincha, v'zois teres ha-mincha ha-krevois b'nei harim l'fnei Hashem o'pnei ha-mizbeach. Ford Perek Vav Pasuk Yud, again, Lo Seyafa Chametz. So the Torah essentially mentioned it twice. The first time it spoke in more general terms, Lo Seyafa Chametz. The second time it says Lo Seyafa Chametz. But the first Pasuk, and this is important for the next part of the daf, is in Parshas Vayikra. It's Vayikra Perek Beis. The second Pasuk is in Parshas Tzav. It's Vayikra Perek Vav. The first pasuk says Lo Seyasa. The second pasuk says Lo Seyafa. It also says the word Chelkam Shamet Minatarti. There were two things that we learned out from the second pasuk. Number one, a separate Malkus for Afiyah and Lisha and Aricha and Kituf. Additionally, Chelkam, the Shiori HaMincha, there's going to be a Chi of Malkus for as well. Frank the Gemara, Kasho, the Eimo Afiyah, the Parat, Lucha, L'chayev chado, inuch l'chayev chado akulu. How do you know from the fact that the Torah singled out Afiyah that what it means is that there's a separate Malkus for Afiyah, and there's also a separate Malkus for Lisha, Aricha, etc. Maybe only Afiyah that the Torah singled out has its separate Malkus, but everything else doesn't have its own Malkus. Says Gemara, what do you mean? I'll tell you how I know. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Mishum Dahabed Dovash Hoye Bechlal, V'yotzam and Aklal Lulami, Loi Lulami and Alatzma Yotzal, El Lulami and Alaklal Klu Yotzal. That's one of the Yud Gimel Midoy Shatar and Adreshes Ben. By the way, if you're keeping score at home, it's number 8. So the 8th of the Yud Gimel Midoy Shatar and Adreshes Ben is Dovash Hoye Bechlal, V'yotzam and Aklal Lulami, Loi Lulami and Alatzma Yotzal. Afiyah was Bechlal. It was Bechlal Loi Seyotzal. The yotzam in achlal loy lalamid alatzma yotza ela lalamid alaklal kula yotza. Kaddish Rabbanan. Yeah, either way, so it's included. So says the Gemara. So therefore, I know that it's not only teaching me that there's a separate Malkus for Afiyah, but that there's a separate Malkus for each. But the Gemara says ve'ema. Maybe look at it a little differently. Loy sasei klal. Lay say off a prat, klalu prat, in bechlal, elamasha be prat. Afiyah in, midiach rini loy. Right, the Gemara, how do you know that the way you look at lay say off and lay say off is that Afiyah was a dovish hoy bechlal, yatsam and a klal, lamid ala klal kula. Maybe look at as lay say off as a klal, and lay say off as a prat, and klalu prat, in bechlal, elamasha be prat. And again, if you're keeping score at home, it's number 4 in Rabbi Yishmael's list of Yud Gemel Midah Shatar Nedreshes Behem, also known as klalu prat. So you have klalu prat, where the rule is Ein Bechlal Ela Masha Bebrat. And then there's a rule of Dova Shahaya Bechlal V'yotzim Nachlal Olam. So the Gemara is asking a specific kasha regarding Loi Seyasa, Loi Seyafa. Loi Seyasa is a klal. Any part of the baking process of the mincha cannot be chametz. And then there's a prat, Loi Seyafa. So the Gemara says, really any part is aser. Not just that, Afiyah teaches me that for each individual part of the process is a separate malchus. Freit Gemara, why? Because it's the 8th of the Yud Gemel Midah Shatar Nedreshes Ben. Maybe it's the 4th of the Yud Gemel Midah Shatar Nedreshes Ben. The 4th is Klal Uprat, Ein Bechlal Ela Masha Beprat. And you know what? Maybe the Torah is telling me that only Afiyah is Aser. Maybe there's no Isser at all. Lisha Rich, forget about malchus. Not even Aser. Because although it says Loisei Aser Chametz, which is very general, it's a Klal, but there's also a Prat of Loisei Aser Chametz. Now the truth is, this is a question every time you have a Klal Uprat. Every time you have a klal prat, how do I know it's a klal prat? Maybe it's a dovish hoye bechlal v'yotzam and a klal olamid, loy olamid alatz meyotza, olamid alklal kula yotza. Or in the reverse, every time I have a dovish hoye bechlal, right, v'yotzam and a klal olamid, maybe it's really a klal prat. That's essentially the Gemara's question. It's a specific question regarding loy seyasa chametz and loy seyafa chametz. But if you think about it, it has global ramifications. And for the Gemara, Omar Rav Afturiki mishum dahavet klal prat hamruchakum zeze. This is the rule of thumb. V'chol klal prat. You know when you say klal uprat? When the klal and the prat are next to each other. You know when you say dovash ahayu b'chlal v'yotzim and ha-klal v'lamid al-klal kuloi? That's if they're meruchakim zeh b'zeh. They're far from each other. In this case, the klal is lo seyasa chametz. That's vayikra perek beis. It's in parashas vayikra. The prat is lo seyafa chametz. That's vayikra perek vav. That's in Parsha Sav. They're meruchakim zeh b'zeh. They're 4 prokim away from each other. You literally have to wait for the next Kriyas HaTorah to even hear it. It's 2 different weeks, 2 parshas. Oh, they're meruchakim zeh b'zeh. Over here, you don't look at it as a klal uprat. Rather, you look at it as a davar shehayu b'chlav. And it says the Gemara, Masiv Rab Adu Barahava Gishmak, V'amri lo kadi. We're about to digress. The klal uprat hameruchakim zeh b'zeh, and doyim noisa b'klal uprat. Is that true? Is this a real rule? That anytime you have a klal uprat next to each other, it's only then that you can say klal uprat. But if they're meruchakim, you can't say that. But Tanya, we learned to the Braisa. V'shochat oisoi b'mokim ashi yishochet eso oilo lifnei Hashem chatosu. And the context of this pasuk is Vayikra Perek Dalid. It's talking about the carbon chatos, specifically the chatos nasi. So if the nasi did an aver b'shoigig, v'sachtos hoirius, he had to bring a special type of chatos. Says the Gemara, where did he bring the chatos? That's a passing in the Torah. V'shochat oisai b'mokim ashi yishochet esa oilu lefnei Hashem chatos. Says the Gemara, heichal oilu mishchatos b'sof and avzeh b'tzof. V'chionu mikhanu meidim. Is this the makar? I need a pasuk regarding the chatos nasi to tell me that the chatos nasi had to be brought b'tzofen.
V'aloi kfar nemar. There's a more general pasuk in Parshas Tzav, in the Parsha of Zois Teiras Achatos, and over there the Torah says, "B'mokem asher tishochet ha'olo, tishochet achatos." So it says already that all chatois have to be b'mokem asher yishochet ha'olo, which is tzafen. So why do I need a pasuk regarding the nasi to tell me that the nasi's chatos had to be b'tzafen? I know from Zois Teiras Achatos and Parshas Tzav that all chatois had to be in tzafen. Olamaze yatzo l'koyvoy. You know why the Torah singled it out by nasi to teach me a rule regarding all chatois? Shem lo yishochet ha'olo b'tzafen pasloi, to teach me that tzafen is not a din l'katchila. It's not preferable, but it's ma'akev. It's even b'di'evet. That when we say that a chatos has to be b'tzafen, it means it's ma'akev if it's not going to be b'tzafen. Ato im l'kach yotzes, is that true? Ayeni elos, jazet ton tzafen, achat ton tzafen. Maybe that's not true. Maybe you know why the Torah singled out that the chatos nasi has to be b'tzafen? To tell me that only the chatos nasi has to be b'tzafen. Meaning, don't make a mistake and think that when it says, zois teres achatos b'mokoyim, it means that all the chatois have to be b'tzafen. No, the Torah single in out by the nasi to tell me that only the chatos nasi. Talmud loimar says the brisa that can't be. Meaning, even though it's an interesting havamina, I hear the Gemara says, but it's not true because there's another pasuk that says v'shachet asachatos b'mokim asher yishachet asa'ilo. There's a third pasuk, in other words, that zebano of lechol chatoy shatun esafen, and that teaches me that every single chatos needs to be b'tzafen. Says the Gemara. So again, what do we have? We have a brisa that essentially is puzzled by the fact that the Torah had a single out by the chatos nasi that it had to be b'tzafen. We know there were many different types of chatois. There was the paralim davashol tzibur. There were the parim anisrofin. The chatos. They permeate so much of the lumdus of Masechtas Vachem and Menaches. Not all chatois were created equally, and there's many, many parshiyos of chatos, as we're going to see a little bit now, into tomorrow's daf. Stating that, the Torah, for some reason, singled out by the chatos nasi that this chatos has to be b'tzafen. And the Gemara's not sure why. If every chatos has to be b'tzafen, why does the Torah have to single out here? And the Gemara posited two suggestions. Number one, maybe, because only the chatos nasi has to be b'tzafen. Meaning, even though there's a general pasuk, zois teres achatos b'mokom asher yishochet ha'olo, maybe the reason Torah singled it out is to tell me only here. Alternatively, maybe it's to teach me, it's a giloy on the parasha of zois teres achatos to tell me that the din tzafen isn't only a din l'katchila, it's ma'akev. Says the Gemara, I know the right answer is choice B and not choice A. How do I know that? Because there's another pasuk that tells me that all chatois need tzafen. So obviously the pasuk of chatos nasi can't be coming to tell me that only the chatos nasi needs tzafen. Bishmak says the Gemara as follows. Time of the Kasa Rachmana B'shotach Zachatos. You see, the Braisa entertained the possibility that when the Torah singled out tzafen by chatos nasi, maybe it was coming to tell me, it was only a havamid, it was a fleeting thought, but a thought nonetheless, that maybe the reason the Torah singled it out is to tell me, hear what's going on, is to tell me that only the chatos nasi needs tzafen. And we need a pasuk to tell me that's not what it means. Because halav hachi havamin shezeh ton tzafen, ve'nachat ton tzafen, feit gemara, my time. What's pshat on that havamino? Lav mishom, the only pshat I can think of, says the Gemara, is davar klalu prat. Because the parasha, the pasuk in Parsha Tzav that says zois teres achatos b'mokim asher tishochet ha'olo tishochet achatos is a klal. Zois teres achatos, it's speaking in very, very general terms. And then when the Torah singles it out by the chatos nasi, it's a prat. And we know the rule. Klal uprat ein b'chal ala masher b'prat. So that must have been the havamina. The reason the Gemara even suggested that maybe by the Torah singling out tzavim by chatos nasi is to tell me that only the chatos nasi needs tzavim is probably based on klal uprat. What's the kasha? One is in Parshas Tzav and the other one's in Parshas Vayikra. So what do you see from here? That even a klal and a prat that are meruchakim zeh bezeh, you still can look at don and oisav a klal or prat, and you don't say no. That's the eighth of the yud gimel midrash atar nidrashus behem. You can use it as the fourth of the yud gimel midrash atar nidrashus behem. Great kasha, but the Gemara says maskeflor Rav Hashi. Rav Hashi heard this conversation and he came with a tkifos. Right? Not all questions are the same. Maskeflor. He was very angry. He said, "Hey, klalu pratu? You have a havamina? That's what the brisa meant. This is not a klalu prat. You know what this is? This is a prat uklal, which, by the way, is another one of the yud gomamit the shaitar nidrashus behem. And when you have a prat uklal, you look at it differently. It's venasa klal moisif ala prat v'srabi lukol mili. Prat uklal is the antithesis of klalu prat. Klalu prat, all you have is the prat. Prat uklal, you have everything." The point is, if anything, there's a prat to klal. Because the prat is chatas nasi, which is in parashas Vayikra. The klal is zois teres achatas, which is in parashas Sav. So when the Brai said a hamamina, that maybe only the chatas nasi needs stuff, and it couldn't have been based on klal or prat. Because it's not a klal or prat, it's a prat to klal. And by the way, Rabbah Turiki is right. It wouldn't have been a klal or prat anyways. Because it's miruchalkim zebizah. What then was the hamamina? Elotono oisei kokashale. Because the Torah uses the word oisei in the parashah of chatas nasi. Vachi kamar. Oisei is a miut. It's coming to exclude something. What's it coming to exclude? Maybe it's coming to exclude sheze ton sof mein achar ton sofun. The kasra achmana oisei. That was the havamino. That maybe the word oisei in the parasha of the chatas nasi, which clearly is coming to exclude something, perhaps Ulai argues the braisa, it's coming to exclude all other chatois from tzofen. But not that I would exclude others from tzofen based on the midah of klal oprat, because it's not a klal oprat for two reasons. A, it's a prat to klal, and B, it's miruchakim zebezeh. The havamina to exclude other chatois from the din tzofen would have been based on the drasha of oisai. Kamash malon, that's not what oisai is coming to be mamayit. What then is oisai coming to be mamayit? That's going to be tomorrow's daf. But for now, we will conclude this discussion and just end with one ha'ara. So we have an idea over here. Really, it's the theme at the beginning of the parak, although the Gemara digressed first with the daf of Haggadah, and then with a daf dealing with Kimoy Shehein, and the Kimoy Shehein, and another half of a digression today. But really, the topic of the daf, of the parak, is Kol HaMenachos Ba'is Matzah, Chutz Michomet Shebetoida, V'shtei Alechem. And today we saw the psukim a little bit. Kol HaMincha Shetakriv Hashem Lo Yiseyasa Chometz, Ki Chol Sa'or, V'chol Devash, Lo Yisak Tiru Mimeno Ishel Hashem. So why can't a mincha be chametz? It's interesting. When you think of chametz, immediately, word association, Pesach, right? A Pesach, you're not allowed to have chametz. But really, a briska should think of a mincha, right? Or at least also a mincha. Because the laws of chametz impact two sugyas in Shas. Number one, Pesach. On Pesach, there's no chametz, karis. And number two, the carbon mincha. The carbon mincha was not allowed to be chametz. We had sugyas of chametz noiksha, we didn't really go into it. But really, the sugyas of chametz come up in two places in Shas. You have it in Masechtes Psachim, because on Pesach, no chametz. And you have it also in Masechtes Menachos, because a mincha was not allowed to have chametz either. So the question is why? Why can't, from a machshava, hashkafa, Kabbalah perspective, why was there not allowed to be kichol sa'or v'chol devash loisaktiru mimenu ishel Hashem? The Baal HaTurim on this pasuk says one line: lefi sheyetzahara doyma l'sa'or. The reason is because the yetzahara is doyma l'sa'or. Umitam ze gam kein hizer ala devash sheyetzahara masuk la'adam. You want to know why no sa'or and no devash? Because sa'or and devash are symbolic; they represent the yetzahara. The Yetzahara is called Sa'ar, the Yetzahara is called Devash, and it's for that reason, says the Baal HaTurim, in a carbon mincha, you can't have Sa'ar, you can't have Devash. Now, where do you find that the Yetzahara is referred to as Sa'ar? So it's a Gemara, a well-known Gemara, a Gemara Masechtes Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that's very often quoted. Rabbi Alexandri, Basar de Matzli Omar Hachi. Rabbi Alexandri, when he would finish his Shemayna Esrei, after he would finish davening, so he had his own tefillah that he had composed that he would recite. And he would say as follows, Ribay Nehoi Laman, a beautiful tefillah. Goliv Yadul Lefanecha, Sheritzaynenu Lasseis Ritzaincha. You know, deep down in our hearts, we all want to do your Ratzayn. Umi Ma'akev. But what's getting in the way? Sa'or Shebi Isa. Veshibud Malchiyo. Zok Rashi. Sa'or Shebi Isa. Yetzahara Shebil Vavenu Hamachmitzenu. Yehi Ratzayn Mofanecha Shetatzilenu Miyadam. Venashov Lasseis Chukei Ritzaynecha Belev of Shalom. That was Rabbi Alexandri's tefillah. He said, Ritzaynenu Lasseis Ritzaincha. Umi Ma'akev. Sar Shabisa. Who's the Sar Shabisa? Everybody knows. It's the Yetzahara, right? Sar Shabisa is the Yetzahara. Ayin b'Marsha, he explains why the Sar Shabisa is called the Yetzahara. Very nice Marsha here in Chedush HaGadol. But the bottom line is it's a Gemara in Masechtes Brachos. So you see that the Yetzahara is referred to as Sa'ar. The fact that the Yetzahara is called the Vash says the Baal HaTurim, Ayin Yerushalmi, Perik Yedalid, Halacha Gimel. But it's self-explanatory. The Yetzahara sometimes is Masuk La'adam Kedavash. Bottom line is Sa'ar and Vash represent the Yetzahara. Thus, when you bring the carbon mincha, you call Sa'ar v'chol devash v'yisaktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. So it's a very profound Baal HaTurim, but it's also very selsim. If you take a look at Rabbeinu Bechaya brings the Ramazan of the Baal HaTurim, and he expounds on it a little bit. He says that the reason that a person would bring a carbon was for kapara, right? Most karbanas were brought for kapara. So you're bringing a carbon. The idea is that you're walking in and you're acknowledging that you were in the clutches of the Yetzirah. And now you're coming to do tshuva, you're coming to repent. A person that brought a carbon had to be misvada. That's literally chapter 1, verse 1 in the Rambam Silchas Tshuva. The Rambam starts the Silchas Tshuva, the laws of Vidoy. And he says, every person that brought a carbon had to be misvada. That's the essence of Vidoy. And every Bal HaKarbon had to make sure, I mean, just to bring a carbon, that's when Hashem says, Lama li roiv zevchechem. It came with a tshuva. And if it didn't come with tshuva, then to the contrary. So, obviously, a person that's bringing a carbon is coming in and he's saying that I understand that I was in the clutches of the Yetzirah and I'm coming to do tshuva, aziva sachet, I'm going to remove myself from those clutches. So Hayutachin says, Rabbeinu Bechaya, that in your carbon, there are going to be these two ingredients that so represent what the Yetzirah is. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the word devash and the word isha have the same gematria. And says, right, they both have a shin. One has an aleph and a hey, which is 6. The other one has a dalet and a beis, which is the same 6. Isha and vash have the same gematria. And says Rabbeinu Bechaya that sa'ar represents the etzahara of avodah zarah. The vash represents the etzahara of arayas. The bottom line is, nafshin shel adam mechamdasar or misavasam. These two Yitzrei Hara have been the cause of man's downfall. Incidentally, I saw there was Naim L'Torah, the Lutzker Rav. He brings this Balaturim, the Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he's marchiv on it. He says that Sa'ar was completely unallowed, right? Even the Shiori HaMincha, we just learned the Mishnah, even the Shiori HaMincha couldn't be Chametz. But Devash, you were allowed to put Devash in the Shiori HaMincha. There's an idea of L'mashcha K'derech Shamalach HaMoichlim. He says because Arayas is something that's okay in moderation, right? You find a man's letter, Ish. The Ishtar and Kedoshim Tiyu, but even the Gemara says they tried being mevatel the Yetzirah, the Arayas, and they couldn't be mevatel it because they realized the world wouldn't be able to go on. The Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, they were mevatel lagamri, and he says that even if it would have meant that the world couldn't have gone on, so let the world not go on. Avodah Zarah is not okay even in moderation. But as it relates to Arayas, Ayin Shom, Dvarim the flood. But either way, regardless, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that's the significance. Sa'ar and Dvash both represent the Yetzirah. Sa'ar represents the Yetzirah of Avodah Zara, Dvash represents the Yetzirah of Arayas. Where do you see in Dvash Arayas? Dvash and Isha, 306, they both have the same exact gematria. That's the idea of Tichol Sa'ar, Vichol Dvash, Lysak Tiru, Vimenu Isha Lashem.